It is a State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We seek to get accurate gauge of public sentiment here in Wisconsin heading into the general election a few weeks away. Polls are going on all around us, and they try to reflect that. We turn now to the latest Marquette University Law School poll. Join in on the poll numbers, whether voter sentiment on issues reflect your views, your curiosities about polling methodologies, and your confidence in polling in America. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Charles Franklin is professor of law and public policy at Marquette University and director of the Marquette Law School poll. Charles, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Good morning. Well, let's focus first on the U.S. Senate, because that was the headline maker from your poll conducted October 3rd through 9th. And so we saw incumbent Senator Ron Johnson pulling ahead of Democratic challenger Mandela Barnes with that 6-point lead. Can you explain what you're seeing in this race?
Sure. We've seen a trend here from a Barnes lead by 7 points in August, right after the primary, to then in September, Johnson ahead by just 1 point. And then in this October poll, Johnson ahead by 6. So there's been a trend there. Most of that movement has come from independents, who after the primary were very pro-Barnes, then became more evenly balanced in September and are now leaning to Johnson by 6 points. In contrast, the partisans have remained over 90%, close to 95%, behind the candidate of their party. So we're seeing very little crossover voting among partisans, but a good deal of movement for independents.
And certainly tongue-in-cheek here, but with such extreme polarization in Wisconsin, are independents a dwindling set, a dwindling group?
Well, we actually haven't seen them go down by very much over the last few years. But it also depends on how you think of independents. Mm-hmm. If you talk about independents as people who, when you ask them, do you think of yourself as a Democrat or Republican or an independent, say independent, then that's been a fairly steady share of the electorate of around 40% or so. On the other hand, if you ask, if you lean towards one party or another, then it's only about 8% that say, I'm an independent and I'm not closer to either political party. So there is a little difference right there. The leaners, those who lean Democratic or lean Republican, are each about 16% of the electorate. And whereas the partisans vote 90 to 95% with the party, these independent leaners are voting between 75 and 80% or 85% with their party. So they still definitely lean to a party, but they're not locked in the same way the pure partisans are. We include those leaners with the pure independents in our independent category.
Okay, that's interesting. And, you know, something that really stuck out to me is that among Republicans, 84% say they're absolutely certain to vote in November's election or have already voted. 83% of Democrats, 69% of independents. Is that normal for midterms, or do you expect an especially high turnout? I mean, you know, barring weather, of course.
Right. Now, these do point to higher than usual turnout rates. More in line with the high 2018 turnouts that we saw 4 years ago, which set a record for a midterm. Mm-hmm. Not as high as you get in a presidential election like 2020, when we also set an extremely high turnout rate. You know, also remember, you have until election day afternoon to decide if you're going to vote, if push comes to shove. So this is one of those areas that can shift a good deal, at least at the margins, and especially between the parties between now and election day. In August, we had 1 point more Republicans saying they were certain to vote than Democrats. But in September, it was a 3-point Democratic advantage. Now it's another 1 point Republican advantage. Those are all so close together, it's hard to know who's really having higher turnout. I think the best answer would be it looks like turnout is very similar for both parties, with independents a fair bit less likely to vote, which is also normal in a midterm.
Charles Franklin with us, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, gauging public opinions as we head into the midterm. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Charles, let's turn to the governor's race. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says groups supporting GOP governor candidate Tim Michaels have been outspending those favoring incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers by more than 3-1. Michaels narrowed his matchup deficit against Evers to 1 percentage point in your poll. How do you think campaign spending is factoring into public opinion?
Well, I think the deluge of advertising that is the biggest visible thing that campaign spending buys. If anybody even turns on their television, they've been exposed to the advertising. And a lot of advertising from the Democratic and independent pro-Democratic groups as well. I think it's likely that these are a big part of why we see the shifts we do in both races. The governor's race has not moved as much as the Senate race. The governor's race has gone from a 3-point Evers lead in August to a four-point lead in August to a 3-point lead in September to now this 1-point edge for Evers. That one looks like a pure toss-up at this point. And there's been good agreement with other polls. There have been, I think, 11 or 12 polls other than mine since September. And in the governor's race, almost all of those show a very tight race. I should say there is more variation in the Senate race, with mine and AARP and Fox showing a 6, 5-point and 4-point Johnson leads. But there have also been a couple, including the CBS poll, showing the race at 1-point Johnson lead. So people should understand there is variation across the polls, but there's more variation in that Senate race, whereas the governor's race, almost everybody has that one as a very close toss-up.
I recall in June, your poll suggested that former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish had a better chance than Michaels at defeating Evers, and voters advanced Michaels. Are Republican voters who initially didn't pick Michaels, are they gelling around that his campaign now?
They seem to be. That voter loyalty that I mentioned to partisans going with their party has been in the low 90s for Michaels in August and September, despite the primary being close by. We did see it drop just a little bit in October to 88% among Republicans. That's a small enough movement to not be sure whether it's really shifted or not. But the October data were just a little bit lower in Republican loyalty compared to the low 90s that we'd seen in the governor's race before that.
Law professor and poll director at Marquette University, Charles Franklin, is here to break down his latest polling data, what the results could safely predict within the margin of error. Join in on polling data, whether you shy away from participating in polls or not. The anatomy of poll questions. Your thoughts on the Marquette poll, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's been called the gold standard in Wisconsin politics. We dive into the latest Marquette University Law School poll, how independent voters are thinking about 3 weeks from November's vote. And by the way, there is one more Marquette poll before the midterms. Join in what you wonder about the poll process, the results, 800-642-1234. Charles Franklin stays with us, director of the Marquette Law School poll. Let's bring in Stefan now in Prairie du Sac. Stefan, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Actually, your intro just now touches on my question. I've been hearing poll results for a number of months, and they have always, you know, too close to call and, you know, interesting information. But I'm interested in the actual process of the polling itself, and who are they collecting the data from, and how do they go about doing that?
Stefan, thank you. Charles.
Terrific. I'm happy to do this seminar. So first of all, we still interview by telephone. We conduct 75% of our interviews by telephone, by landline. Let me say it again. We do 75% by cell phone and 25% by landline. We use a method called random digit dialing, in which we take the list of all area codes and exchanges in the state. You can just buy that list and then attach a 4-digit random number to complete the number. And then you dial that number, and that gives every number in the state, whether it's a landline or a cell phone, an equal chance to be selected into the sample. And that's the way probability sampling works. That's why the sample of numbers that we get is representative in a certain sense of all of the numbers in the state. And then we call up to several times in trying to reach people over the course of the week. We're in the field for 7 days now, from Monday through Sunday. We've expanded that length of time because, as I'm sure everyone knows, it's harder to get voters on the phone to talk to us about the poll. When someone picks up, we typically get around 35% who agree to do the interview. But the problem is that foot in the door, lots and lots of people don't pick up their phone anymore. Mm.
In 2020, the polls missed a chunk of former President Trump's voters who refused to participate in polling. Is that on your mind for polling in the midterms?
It always is. In 2020, the polling average here in Wisconsin was off by 8 percentage points, overstating Biden's margin by 8 points. We were also off, but by 4 or 3 points, 3 points for the high turnout model, 4 points for our average turnout model. So we did better than the average, but that was still more than the 2.2% average error we've had over the full life of the poll. So that 2.2 average error and the 4-point normal error, normal turnout error, should give listeners a sense of sort of another way of thinking about the uncertainty in our poll. We would could easily be within 2 points of the result. It wouldn't be shocking if we were within 4 points. Hmm. The only time we've been worse than 4 points in error was in 2016 for the presidential race, where we were off by over 6 points. So that was by far our worst performance. And there's what we think is the Trump factor, underestimating Trump's vote. However, in the midterm in 2018, we had the governor's race tied at zero, directly tied. Evers won by 1.1. And we had the Senate race at 11, and Tammy Baldwin won by 10.8. So it's an interesting question whether our midterm this year will look like the 2018 midterm, or for that matter, the accurate 2014 midterm, or whether those things that have troubled us in the two elections with President Trump on the ballot will come back to haunt us this time. Really, we can speculate about it, but check back after the election and then we'll know how we did.
Stefan, thank you for that. John now in Boaz. John, what's on your mind?
Hi, good morning. And I just want to ask your guest if they're voting on the medical marijuana usage in Wisconsin.
John, thank you. Medical marijuana as an issue. Charles Franklin?
Right. We have not asked medical marijuana this time. We've asked it in the past and found over 80% in favor of legalizing medical marijuana. This time we did ask about marijuana being made legal or not just that way, with no further explanation. 64% favored legalizing, 30% were opposed. Back in 2014, that was 42 in favor of legalization, 52 opposed. So, and we've tracked this repeatedly over time. So there's been a real shift in views of legalization of marijuana in general. And that shift is across the parties, though a majority of Republicans still oppose legalization, 50 to 43, while two-thirds of independents and over 80% of Democrats favor legalization.
Looking at the other issues in this current survey, inflation really, you know, was the leader in terms of people saying they're very concerned about rising costs. What did you make of the issues and how they stacked up?
Sure. And inflation has led the list of nine issues that we've asked since August of 2021. Over the last year, we've been asking this set of concern about issues questions. Inflation rose steadily until June this past summer, fell off a little bit in August, and then has been sort of flat since August. So not quite as high concern as in June, but still the number one issue overall. I think the biggest thing we see is how much difference there is between Republican and Democratic concerns. Republicans put their top three issues as inflation, illegal immigration, and crime. Democrats, it's abortion policy, gun violence, and public schools. And independents, it's public schools, inflation, and gun violence. So you can see that the two parties don't overlap at all in their top three issues. But independents share two issues share the public schools and gun violence issue with Democrats, share inflation with Republicans.
Talking about public opinion with Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, let's go to Andy in Milwaukee. Hi, Andy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Professor Franklin, I've long admired your work. I'm wondering if you're picking up anything in the polls about the issue of race. Over the last couple of days, just watching a Packer game and a Badger game, I've been shocked at the way Mandela Barnes is portrayed. It's like the old Willie Horton ads, and I'm wondering if you're hearing any of that from people.
I'm sorry, a race, did you say?
Depicting race. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, certainly we're seeing a lot of advertising that's focused on crime, that uses imagery that certainly has racial components to it. I think that what we're seeing is some evidence that that crime issue is being used to drive the election. That's, of course, the purpose of those advertisements, those negative ads. On the other hand, we're seeing the crime issue flatten out and even come down a little bit in the importance people rate it. On our measure of how people feel about Black Lives Matter, the Black Lives Matter movement that I've been monitoring as a way of getting at the salience of race and people's opinions, that one has stayed pretty stable throughout the year, with about an even percentage who say they have a favorable and an unfavorable view of the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. Now, you can argue about whether that's the best measure of racial attitudes, but because we have a long history with that issue or that opinion, we're using that to see if the salience of race has risen or fallen. And at this point, we haven't seen a lot of movement in that.
We only have a few seconds left, but the next and final poll ahead of the election has a planned release on November 2nd. How concerned are you of releasing a poll near an election and the impact on the outcome?
Sure. Well, that's actually why we released it on the Wednesday before the election. That gives almost a full week for the news to go out, for the campaigns to respond however they want. And then we try to be silent from that Wednesday through Election Day. There are other pollsters that release on the Sunday before the election. or even the Monday morning before the election. We made a deliberate decision at 10 years ago when we started the poll that we would release the Wednesday before the election, and then it's up to the campaigns for how they want to respond to that and run the end of the campaign.
Charles, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Charles Franklin is professor of law and public policy at Marquette University, directs the Marquette Law School poll. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.